Good evening. My name is Susan, I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety day is July 10th, 2010. Last month, I just took my 6 years token. I see some familiar faces, except especially some sisters in sobrieties. I want to say hello. Even though some of you, the names I don't remember, but I remember your faces because one time or another I have seen you in the meetings, and I'm grateful to this program, to the fellowship. And congratulations to Lisa, Sierra, and Jessica. I know how hard it is. My first 3 years of sobriety, I cried almost on a daily basis. Randy knows. Yeah, he met me when I first started. He said, I made changes. I said, really? I don't see any. I'm a visual person, so I brought three things up here. My token, of course, is my sobriety day. That's the most important thing in my life. I have to protect this first, and then my meetings. I live in San Diego, but I go to meetings everywhere, as far as Carlsbad, Encinitas, Lucadias. There are some really good meetings and workshops, especially women's meetings there, and I always go. I don't mind driving. I don't mind taking my time because I'm self-employed. I often arrange my days around my meetings because it's really important. And then I have some apps for meditation, and I listen to speakers online on the phone, on my podcast. I save them. Even though sometimes I don't have internet access, I can still listen to them, keep myself going. I was born and raised in China, communist China. I'm from a very good family, honest to God. I have absolutely no excuse I have to blame my parents because it's all my fault. I have none of that. It's me. It's totally me. I want to focus on how I stayed sober, how I get to this. The last day of my drinking, it was July 10th, 2010. I got into this horrendous two incidents, terrible, terrible incidents, within one afternoon. My daughter was with me at the time. And then after that, series of even more unfortunate events happened, and I realized I would lose my daughter if I don't stay sober, if I don't stay away from alcohol. That's a thought that I could not even stand, because who am I? I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister. I have my faith, I believe in my higher power. So when I realize there's a possibility I'm going to lose my daughter, that alone really hit me. Because I remember when I grew up, my parents, I have a sister, she's 2 years older than me, Grace. Grace and I, we were really close. My parents always had this horrible, horrible fights at night. We often are awakened at night, and I would hear my parents. My mother would smash dishes. They were fighting. They were out yelling at each other. It was Grace and I, all we could do is hold each other, shaking, and kept praying, oh, this will be end. So at that moment, I made a conscious decision and made a commitment to my higher power. One day when I'm a mother, I would never do that to my parent. I would never do that to my child. I would never, ever do that. Fast forward, I got married. My husband lost his first wife, and Angela, my daughter's name is Angela. She did not came very easy. We got married. I prayed every day, every Sunday, on my knees to God, please send me a child, send me a child. So Angela came 3 years later. I love her more than myself. But that time when I realized thank you. Oh, gosh. Excuse me. So that day when I realized I'm going to lose my daughter, I did exactly what I told myself I'm not going to do. I don't want to be like my mother. I did I was even worse than my mother. So that really, I knew I had a problem. I was such a proud person. I had so much false pride. My husband did not know I had a drinking problem. Back then, we lived in this big house. He would have his man cave. I would stay in my corner. And then I would run downstairs, get my drink from the liquor cabinet and gulp down and go right back upstairs. Nobody even knew. And it took me a couple years. I just really went downhill. So I wanted my daughter. I cannot lose my daughter. This is a thought I couldn't bear. So I prayed about it, and I called my sister. At the time, Grace still lives in China. She told me you should go to AA. I have no idea what AA is. Hadn't I known, you know, back then I felt so, I just don't think this would be for me. So I'm glad, I'm grateful I didn't know anything. So I went to AA meetings. I did not go to the ones that in my neighborhood because I don't want people to recognize me. So I drove. Yeah. I have so much false pride. So I drove over the bridge almost every day. I'm doing that for the first 6 to 12 months because I was too proud to go to the meetings in my neighborhood. I didn't want people to know. And finally, I had a sponsor from very beginning. I knew her from outside the room, and she was awesome. Sometimes she was so brutally honest, it was hurtful to the point, but but she was right. She's the one pushed me to do this service because I had multiple sponsees, but they had not, the ladies had not stayed, or for some reasons I don't quite understand, they left. So my sponsor told me, you have to really keep doing the services. So I figured if I want to be of service, I really do, because I owe it to the program, to the fellowship. So my service is, I volunteer to be a speaker at the meetings, and I do H&I work, which is amazingly, very surprisingly, it was fun, a lot of fun. I've been doing H&I work at Kiva McClaster Women's Recovery Home, and I met some wonderful ladies there. I love them to death. Also, I bring meetings to VA hospital. What else did I do? Oh, I do the my club's, Alano Club's website. I help them to maintain the website. So service really helped me. My sponsor, she's the one. She knows exactly what to tell me, what's my problem. She really knows me so well. She helped me so much. She's better than my, I will save that part. But she's awesome. She's awesome. How much time do I have left? Oh, okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. See, I'm very inexperienced in this. I just want to share what's in my mind. I want you to see my heart, my honesty, my sincerity. I really tried everything else, just AA. AA is the only thing that worked. I have 6 years and almost 2 months, and I'm just, if there's nothing I've done right, but this is the thing that I'm really proud. My daughter gave me, I want to share something with you, she wrote me. And Randy, I'm not texting, just FYI. Last birthday, she wrote me. I'm so proud. She says, Mom, Angela wrote, Mom, I could not be more grateful that you're my mother. Remember, she was almost escaped from me. She said, I have always looked up to you as a role model, and I wish I could show you how amazing you are. You're incredibly beautiful, intelligent, adaptable, and resilient. Even though even through the toughest times, you have handled everything so beautifully, and when people tell me I resemble you more and more, I take it as a wonderful compliment. Thank you for giving me everything I could possibly ask for. I love you, Angela. I'm really proud. I'm grateful. Without the fellowship, I don't think I will still be a mother. I don't think I will still have Angela. And I owe everything I learned to this room. I'm no longer a perfectionist. I no longer expect a lot out of myself or the people around me. I just take things as is. I accept everything. My goal is to live a very ordinary, average life, because extraordinary is something that human being cannot contain, cannot sustain. It's just not sustainable. I'm grateful today. I have my health. I have my fellowship. I have my sober sisters. I have my sponsor. I have my family, my business, and I'm grateful I'm here. I can share my journey with everyone. Thank you.